Bad Motivators.
Shit, yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 223 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strathers, and with me, as always, are my two, well, co-hosts, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Well, hey there.
And one Mr. Dallas Wood.
Shimmy, shimmy, yah, shimmy, yah, shimmy, yay. Give me the mic so I can take it away. Off on a natural charge, born by Aj. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the home of the Dodger Brooklyn squad. Anyway, what's up, guys?
You should have stopped on the first part. You're like John Ralphio right now.
Okay.
In all of Pawnee, Indiana. Like Big Ben clock. So, speaking of John Ralphio, we have got a special guest today that doesn't have anything to do with John Ralphio. I'm sorry.
I was going
to
say.
And everybody's excited. It's like pills, baby. So
she's the one.
Joining us today, artist extraordinaire, destroyer of trees, our friend, Lumberjack Nick. Lumberjack Nick, how you doing, buddy?
I'm Napty Nap, and I'm here to say, listen to your mama eat your rice today. And if you mix rice in with some beans, you'll have yourself a complete protein. This is a little rap I wrote.
That was pretty great. I feel like I should have the G.I. Joe, the more you know thing on there too, because it was not only entertaining, but informative. Unlike most episodes of this show.
You got two people on the show today that are the killer of trees, but anyway.
Different trees, Dallas. I love that people have started to come on this show with their own raps to follow up Dallas, to kind of class it up a little bit.
Well, yeah.
He did his own. I did the old dirty bastard.
It's like, you know, it's like a rap battle, okay? Except it's the tortoise and the hare. So you can figure out which one's which after this. But so anyway... Lumberjack Nick, he's been a friend of the show for a long time, man. And you are one guy that we would love to meet in person. Mm. And what are your plans for celebration 1 year from now?
Oh, man, I am so excited for celebration. I'm excited to meet all you guys. I'm assuming all of you are going to be there, right?
Yep.
Awesome. Okay.
Eric and I for sure are coming.
And so... We're going for a late, we're kind of turning into a late 40th birthday for me because I turned 40 this year.
Oh, nice, man. When's your birthday?
August 21st.
August 21st.
Mm, the secret's out of the bag.
Rheumatoid arthritis, sir.
Yep.
Man, dude, you don't look a day over like 31.
So. Yeah, dude, you look way younger than 40. Yeah, seriously.
That's what I usually get. I used to get high school, but I'm old now, so I get 30, 31.
I had to, you know, I don't have that problem now. Now I look like Droopy the dog from the old cartoons. Oh, boy. Dang, no, oh, that's Eeyore that says that.
Yeah, it's very easy to transition from Droopy to Eeyore. They kind of have that about the same vibe.
Same personality. But when I was younger, man, I finally had to grow a goatee so people would quit assuming that I was 15. You know,
you better
hurry home from your gig because you're going to not get, you got to get your geometry homework done, I'm sure. It's like, I'm a grown man.
You're like, it's not homework. I just enjoy doing it.
Your mom said curfew is 11.
But so Lumberjack Nick, that's, by the way, that's his entire first name. It's on his birth certificate. We've seen it. Lumberjack Nick. It's not all one word, but it's considered one name. So
let's just say he brought two forms of picture ID.
He
did. Yes.
Artist extraordinaire. And here's how you know that he's good. His excellent artwork has been stolen by disreputable fly-by-night sites that pop up in the Facebook ads. And so, first of all, how did that make you feel?
I mean, to be honest, I was kind of excited about it. Because it's like, okay, well, I guess I'm doing something right if people are stealing it, you know?
Yeah. Right.
And so, and at first I was trying to get them shut down, and then people still message me sometimes and they say that, you know, they've seen my stuff on a site, and I'll kind of make note of it and to plan on going and just kind of reporting it. But then I haven't done it in a long time. So
I think that's a good point, man, is that's when you know that, well, I must have done a good job. And I don't know what kind of money those places make. I mean, that's a pretty crappy way to do business, says us, as we steal content from Star Wars all the time and make a show with it.
But we talk about the content.
Playing Taylor Swift at the end of the show, yes, it was self-indulgent for me, but it was also, man, I'm like selling that girl one episode at a time. Hey, everybody, if you've not listened to this, you should go buy her music. So it's it's not about us. It's about the consumer. Man, that's the second Joe Dirt reference we've had so far tonight.
Yeah, but the listeners only got this one for the first time, though.
So, yeah, exactly. Yes. So, Lumberjack, that's what I'm calling you for short.
Okay.
what originally drew you to art in general?
Oh, man. I mean, I've been drawing ever since I could pick up a pen, really. And I had a friend of mine who we were going to do a comic book together, because actually I'm a creative writing major, and I was going to write it and he was going to draw it. And then that kind of fell through, and I was like, well, I like drawing. Why don't I just draw it? So I started drawing one Star Wars character a day leading up to The Force Awakens. And I've just been drawing every day since then just to try to get myself better. So I could eventually someday do a comic, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That'd be awesome, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Most recently you've been doing, you know, the collection of the characters, like all grouped in a bunch, which are super cool, man. And what's been your favorite one of those? And I realize it's like picking which kid's your favorite, but do you have one that just was like the standout for you?
I think the Mandalorian one that I just did is my favorite.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the best. Yeah. The first one I ever did, all I do now is digital art. Before, I did traditional art. So the very first one I did was traditional. So I like that one too, because I have a physical like copy of it, you know.
Yeah.
Where digital, you know, you don't. But I like that one too, just because that was kind of the first one.
Now,
now it's the Mandalorian one.
What do you use to when you draw?
Oh,
tablet.
Like iPad Pro.
I have like a big Cintiq.
Yeah.
That's what I was using, and then I got an iPad Pro with Procreate, and I haven't touched that Cintiq in over a year and a half now. So, I mean,
was it the 24 or 27 Cintiq?
Oh, the Cintiq, it was 22, I think.
22. Okay.
Yeah.
I was one of those big ones, but I bought one of the older 12-inch ones, like I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I used it for a little while, but the accuracy was a little off, so I kind of just like kind of push it aside. Like, well, there's a waste of $800.
Yeah, I've actually been thinking about selling it, so I don't know.
Hint.
Don't look at me; I'm not buying it. You can do somebody else.
Well, listen. While we're talking about you selling that, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on the socials, should they want to buy it or any of your super dope artwork?
Really just Lumberjack Nick anywhere except for on Instagram, which is Lumberjack Nick Art. I missed the boat on Lumberjack Nick on Instagram.
Somebody else told Lumberjack Nick.
What? Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Well, when I was looking for you on Skype, there were like three other Lumberjack Nicks.
Oh gosh, more people got to kill.
Is it Lumberjack Nicks? Is that the plural or is it Lumberjack's Nick? Like mothers-in-law. Yeah,
Lumberjack's Nick.
Yeah. So. Well, and
I wanted to say earlier, when you were saying, you know, he's a legendary artist because blah, 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 I thought seriously we were going to say he has art that has been tattooed on somebody's shaft. I'm like, that would be legendary.
Oh, not yet. You know, I've had several people message me and say that they wanted to get something tattooed and they haven't done it yet. So I'm just waiting for that day where somebody actually gets it tattooed and sends me a photo of it tattooed.
Yeah, but he's saying specifically on the wing.
The shaft.
Nobody
catch that detail, buddy.
Yeah.
Dude, imagine that like be a quite line the day. Of these Mandalorians down the shaft. That'd be pretty cool.
A helmet. Yeah, the helmet's down the shaft. Oh, that would my be God, great.
Right? That helmet at the end? Oh, man.
If one of you do it, I will send you a free print.
Oh, wow. That's like a good, wow, good deal, buddy.
Not worth it, but thank you for the offer. I also want to point out the listeners can't see him because we're on Skype, but he is like totally on brand. Like got the plaid, black and red plaid flannel shirt looking like Brawny Man. Like that's legit, man. He is a lumberjack. Mm-hmm. Like no lie.
I am curious, Lumberjack Nick, how many of those flannels you have or it's just the one?
I have multiple flannels. This is the only red one I have, though.
You just watch, like me as a kid, watch Simpsons, and like you just see Homer just had like a closet full of blue pants and white shirts.
Exactly.
That's the Charlie Brown closet is. Gag. There.
No, I was hoping he'd say he has the one and he's never washed it because why would he? You know, he just put excellence into it every day.
Well, I'm married now.
It loses its power.
I'm married, so my wife makes me wash my clothes.
There you go.
Damn it.
They always want these people to smell good.
Son of a bee.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. That's what happens. So speaking of socials, you can follow this show on Twitter at @bad_motivators. Any other stuff, you can find it right there in the show description. Follow us. Don't follow us like we give a crap. But please do love us. Check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators. Got a lot of cool stuff going on there. I just dropped an episode of That's Metal that's all about Southern rock, and the comparisons between it and like traditional metal are pretty astounding. So give it a listen.
And by the time this comes out, I will drop part 7 of the Charges with the X-Men The Extinction Agenda, part 7, like I said before. Tom and Rashad and I have a good time doing that show. You should definitely check it out if you haven't already. It's good stuff. Lots of laughs are shared. The topic from last week's harassment of Rashad on this show, we're covered on that episode. So if you want to hear Rashad's side, you have to listen to that episode.
So okay, do we need to do the official apology to Rashad on this? Because I never caught the whole story on his end, but I feel like
we were drinking at a restaurant, guys. He might not have remembered.
I feel like he may be the A-team in this scenario. We're accused of crimes he didn't commit. But anyhow, I got
it's
a phone
not
call
like you're
from
pissed.
I got a oh no, I got a phone call.
Why
from,
has he got to deny it? It's not like you're pissed. Come
I got
on,
a phone
Rashad.
Call from somebody else after last week's show saying, "I'm sorry. I'm sure that was me." It's like, no. At least that's not the word I got, unless Dallas just tossed Rashad under the bus to protect you, which is a possibility, I suppose.
Okay, well, I love Rashad, but Rashad, I would do that for Strutter. I'm sorry.
See, I wasn't going to say who it was, but...
Well, Rashad's side of it was like, how the hell would I know anything about what Eric's doing?
E-Raj. Anyway.
All right, that'll do. Okay, so you know what we're going to do, man, since I've had enough of this conversation right here, is we're going to do this little piece. I want to thank Robbo for that theme song. It is an excellent, excellent thing, and I never get tired of it. But who wants,
I love it.
It's we have a guest. And he gets to go first. If Lumberjack Nick, do you have a what that you would like to be the who to share?
I just want to say that theme song is amazing. I have no idea what he's saying, but I love it.
He's saying, who got what? Do, do, do. Who got what?
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Of course, no simple crash.
The only thing I got is a roof finally. Well, no, I still haven't gotten it. They're working on it currently.
Yo, I don't have a roof, so I'm like jealous.
Yeah. They're nice. They're very nice to have. So, yeah, after about six months of a tree fell on our house in September.
Oh, man. A tree's revenge against a lumberjack.
Revenge against lumberjack.
Yes.
If I'm going to die, I'm taking this motherfucker's roof out.
Yep, exactly. It was a 100-year tree. It punched my house. I've been sitting here with three holes in my bedroom.
Jesus.
And they're finally working on it. That's what I got. That's it.
I can't help but think about that Family Guy cutaway about if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there to hear it, does it make a sound? in the trees talking. He's like, are you kidding? Gary fell last week and he hasn't shut up about it. anybody else get anything?
Cruiser?
I opened my pool this weekend, and I know this is going to be riveting, but I always like I have a robot cleaner, and I always send it off and into the abyss to clean out the muck and whatever fell in there during the winter or whatever. And do you remember that scene in Tremors where they send the little lawn tractor out to basically like see where they are? He's like, send that little guy out, see, let him find him. That's how I always think whenever I put the little robot into the water. Good luck, little guy. I noticed every time it came up, it was like more rancid than usual. You know, like leaves and algae or whatever sitting there for 6-7 months can get pretty gross. But like, it was like bad. And I was like, what the hell is this? And I started noticing like tufts of fur would pop up randomly.
I'm
like, what the fuck is this? Please don't be like a puppy or like a cat or something. And then finally, the little vacuum that could struck pay dirt and brought this fully like defleshed rabbit skeleton out from the bottom, and like all that was left, and it was a full grown rabbit. It was a big thing. And because normally, like if it's like a vole or like a mouse or something, like it'll suck it right into the basket, and you can just dump it over or whatever. And I try to prevent this. I have like little things over the side to like let them get out if they get stuck in the water or whatever. Because there's no stairs coming out of my pool, but like the only thing that was left was I'm guessing it had to have fallen in when I still had it open like in the fall or something, and I couldn't see it, Only thing that was left was just like its face just staring at me. I was like,
no.
Yeah, so I got nightmares. God. That's what I got this week. And the
who wants to move to Indiana, kids?
The forever cleaning, like I don't know if any of you guys ever had to open a pool or deal with what that entails. Yeah. Like, especially if you're not like me and you don't put all the chemicals in the winter to keep it like somewhat clear when you open it up in the spring. It's quite the task to open up those pools, especially in the Midwest here where we have lots of pollen and leaves and everything else, and even and we have a safety covering put over a winter, but somehow leaves get in there. I don't know what happens, but they get in there, and it's always a mystery as to what's going to come up. And this year it was gross, and like all I can do, I think it's just constantly pulling up hair, and I'm just hoping by the time I clear that thing out that all the hair is gone, because it
some little girl's pet.
No. This is definitely a wild rabbit. We have tons of them around here. Tons of rabbits.
Oh, okay.
And they love to hang on down by the area by the pool. But like, I don't know. I just feel bad for it because I just imagine how bad that death was. It's fucking horrible. But
so, man,
yeah,
you got a rabbit.
That's what I got. That's what I said. I got nightmares, and you get a share in them. There you go.
How do we follow up, Eric? How do we follow up the rabbit corpse?
Dude, I don't know. I kind of don't want to talk about anything. I just want that image out of my head.
Dude, do that fucking scary ass half fleshed skull.
All right, let's move on from that. What about you, Woodrow? What'd you get, man?
Dude, I got something I have been waiting over 2 years to get. The naked chicken chalupa.
Oh yeah. I forgot that was back. Yeah.
Is it back?
I went yesterday to get a freeze and a cheesy gordita crunch. And what is on the sign right before you order? The microphone box. Oh man. I'm like, the naked chicken chalupa. I thought it was banned in 6 countries. This one being one of them. And yeah, man, it was not as good as the first time, but better than the last run. So no McRib disappointment. All the McRib fanatics got all disappointed this last run. Naked Chicken Chalupa fans, your pothead dreams are answered. It is good. Not as good as the first run, but excellent run.
I feel like I need to go right now. So good luck with the show, guys. And
see you later.
I'll steal it, dude. Did you guys have that? I forget the quesarito. It's not the burrito. It's the it's in the chalupa shell. But it's like but it's like a quesa.
Oh, it's a quesalupa.
Yeah, quesalupa. That was good. Yeah,
the shell is cheese fire, infused. Man.
I don't know what that cheese sauce was in there, but like, oh man, I went to Taco Bell the other day to I was like, yes, because it was still going on. And I went there and it was the naked chicken chalupa. I was like, oh no, the quesalupa's gone. It was so
sad. What? And now Estella being sick, I probably won't get to go to Taco Bell tomorrow like I normally do. I mean, I guess I could just make her go through the drive-thru.
Fuck yeah.
Dang. Well, the quesalupa. It's the chalupa shell, if you will. It's like a puffy thing. It's got cheese in it.
Yeah.
It's so good. But Lumberjack Nick, are you a Taco Bell guy?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
He kills trees, dude.
What's your favorite thing on the Taco Bell menu?
Well, it was the Mexican pizza, but that's gone. Man.
Like I was a regular on that, and I thought it would never go away. Like I never worried about not ever being able to get it, and now I'm like, son of a bitch! Every time I go, man, I wish I could get a Mexican pizza.
Yeah, I wonder what happened. I mean, why?
I don't know. It's weird. It couldn't have been that expensive to maintain. I mean, it was flattened corn tortillas and like some beans.
The factory in Indonesia went under for Corona, so they
maybe. I don't know, but all I know is that the cheese gordita crunch is still rolling. Mm-hmm. So all that really matters to me in the end. So
I'm going to say this on this show out loud, not on Patreon. I'm going to say this: if they ever get rid of the cheesy gordita crunch, I might not go back for a while until it comes back. And that's a big say for me.
They did do away with it for a while. And a handful of locations that still had it. And I found one, and it was in what I would deem an undesirable area. However,
you would go
your sister-in-law brave lives.
routinely to go there and get it.
Well, they had to bring it back because there was literally blood in the streets over it, and they can't have it on their conscience. You know what I mean? Like,
Now, one thing I was
disappointed. Goddamn Snyder Cut fans. Fucking just give us the cheesy gordita chalupa cut.
I was disappointed in this last round of the quesalupa that the breakfast quesalupa was not on the menu, at my Taco Bell. And
I don't know, was a thing.
Dumbfounded it because was. That was one of the best. When Taco Bell's breakfast was still pretty new.
Yeah.
That.
What was in it?
Well, I mean, it's basically just like your breakfast burrito, except it's in the quesalupa shell, that cheesy shell. And that is the one and only
ways too.
That is the one and only time that I got the official Taco Bell account to interact with me on social media, because I had this little Kylo Ren 3¾-inch figure that's still in my backpack. I took him with me everywhere, and I had my quesalupa half eaten, sitting in a thing, put the Kylo Ren next to it and took a picture. And I can't remember what it said, but they came back with nothing will. I said, I will finish what you started. That's what he was saying. And the Taco Bell came back with nothing will stand in our way. I was thinking, this is the finest, my finest achievement. I did it. I finally did it.
The only thing to top of that is if Taylor Swift interacted with you for once.
Dude, if that happened, I would die. I'm just telling you, getting a like or a comment from her is like the holy grail, especially if she listens to one of my mashups. That's really all I care about.
Like, seriously, I know there's a person that wants you dead that's going, I just need to get a hitman that can get Taylor Swift to meet him. We don't even have to do a murder. He'll die on his own.
Dude, there's tons of people who want me dead. Get in line, people.
Get in line.
Yeah, I've been wished dead by a lot better class of people than you. So take that to the bank.
Dude, I think she would actually really enjoy your Kendrick Lamar mashup if she's not heard it already.
I think so too, man.
Yeah,
I think so too, especially because it's got that little video in there of her rapping the song.
Yeah.
But
I know Kendrick would dig it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I got one other thing.
Go on.
I got
on.
Some more walls at my house. I'm not a roof yet, Nick, but I got some more walls. And my wife and I went over there tonight to check it out. And we're just kind of getting the vibe of the layout because we've never seen this house built. It's a custom home. So, like, you've seen the plans, and then it's kind of funny to go in there and say, oh, wow, our window by our dining room table is going to be amazing. Anyway, I'm in there, and I look over my shoulder, and I see on top of the OSB stack that's delivered, you know, for the sheeting, and there's this fucking microwave on there. The framers have a microwave outside on top of the stack. My wife's like, huh. And I go walk over there, and I open it up, and of course there's some tortillas in there still.
What do you mean, of course? Why don't you explain to me what you mean by that?
Well, he means that a lot of times
people who frame workers like bring tacos, their lunch, man.
And it's usually tortillas. I can't say I blame him because tortillas are usually better than what I have. So
I prefer tortillas over bread. So yeah.
I'm curious though, when it comes to these new build houses, right? And they're open to the elements like that. Is there like some kind of protection over the top, or is it just like open?
It's just open until you finish, man. Until you,
I don't understand. Like, wouldn't that warp the wood? Am I wrong?
No. It, over a long period of time, of course. And if it's laying not level and stacked, then it will like crack. Like studs can twist and stuff. But once they're nailed in into a wall and squared up, yeah, they're not gonna move.
I don't know. Well, there we have it. So what I got was nothing. Did get the inspection on my new house today, so that's pretty excellent. And the inspector was like, this might be the shortest one I've ever written.
Wow.
There's just basically nothing wrong, so excellent. Nice. Got to flip around the hot neutral on several outlets in the basement, but past that, it's not bad. But anyhow, so, you know, we've got several things that we've been talking about every week, like Bad Batch and also Bad Batch, and that's been about it, right? But occasionally we'll talk the books and the comics and all that. Now, I've still been working on Into the Dark, and it's, again, I cannot stress this enough. It's not the book's fault that I'm not done with it. It's my own fault. But we've had the Thrawn novel come out. We've had all these things. Lumberjack Nick, are you into the books and or comics?
I try to get into the books. I think it's just like the visual thing of not being able to, like with Star Wars, I want to actually see what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard for me to get into the books because I can't visually, like I'm kind of coming up with my own imagination of what it's going to look like. And then the canonical thing comes out and I'm wrong. So I just can't get into the books. The comics I love.
I was going to say, like, I started listening to the first High Republic novel, and like having gone through it the first time, like it was, you're exactly right, especially with that, because I had no reference for anything. However, now having read 4 issues of High Republic comics, and now having gone back and listened to that novel again, it is so much better.
Mm.
So I will say that for anybody who is struggling with the books, if you can read the comic, like they have at least done that. So you kind of have, oh, that's what the starlight, whatever looks like. Oh.
Now, are there any particular comic runs that you've really enjoyed?
Nick? Me?
Yes. Oh, sir. Me. I don't care about these other two, man. This is just
world. You're the guest, bro.
I'm currently reading through the Star Wars Marvel comic that leads up to Empire Strikes Back, and I want to read past.
Oh,
the
nice.
Stuff that happens after Empire Strikes Back. I really like the Darth Vader comic.
The Charles Soule one, or
which one?
I mean, all of them. All of them are really good.
Me too.
I'm excited for the Bounty Hunter War that's coming out.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Me too.
So yeah, I mean, they're all usually really good.
Yeah, that's.
I need to check out the High Republic though, and I do good. Like that they give the visual, like the character visuals and stuff like that. That's one thing I really like. About them, that they give you what the characters look like.
The art.
Well,
is sick,
well they released that like before the first novel came out. Like what like most of them look like, and I think they even kind of showed you what the starlight looked like and stuff like that, and a couple of the ships and all that. But like you're right, like they're still like when it comes to a book that's written in say the Clone War era or the like any of the eras set in the movies, we have a base to go off
reference
of.
Point. We have a reference point for what an X-Men
we don't have
looks
to think
like.
About it too much. Like, okay, this is the world we're in. Feed me the story, you know, and then I can play with the action figures in my head and watch it play out. You know what I mean? Like, exactly, it's a little bit different, but yeah, I get it. And maybe that's my problem with the High Republic, but I'm not like super overly enthused with it yet. It's like, I just don't have any real visual reference to go off of. Yeah. And like, it's not quite clicked with me that it's like new Star Wars yet, I guess. I don't know how else to describe it. Like, it's.
I'm telling you, the High Republic comic like solves that problem.
I think even that it's the fact that there's no. I know this is a poor way to view things, but the fact there's no movie tied to it or any cartoon or anything, sure. It's just hard for me to give it the same weight as everything else we've gotten into.
Well, and I think the reason for that is like what you're saying is most of the printed material and that sort of thing has been about things we already fell in love with through a moving visual medium.
Or at least directly related to it, at least.
Yeah. And so without that, it is a little weird. Now, I know I've mentioned this before, but the little like character shirts that they were doing where it's, you know, just like mostly fixed drawings, Ken Burns style, you know, moving in and out, and the lady's narrating it. That lady is the same person who is the legendary bounty contact point that you hear that talks during the cinematics in Red Dead Redemption 2, the Red Dead Online.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, Gene Bo Finley, blah, blah, blah. And it sounds just like those High Republic things. But Lumberjack Nick, are you into video games?
Man, I wish I could. I just don't have time for them. I had to kind of just make a choice of if I was going to play video games or not. I just had to cut them on my life because I just don't have time for them. But I do love video games, and every once in a while I'll get into one. Like Red Dead, I would love to play Red Dead, but it's just a time suck. I just don't have
it. Oh, yeah, it's a time suck.
It's, yes. And that was one of the things.
All your free time once you get into it, because I've sucked in.
Yeah, I famously said, famously is kind of a grandiose word, but I said on the show that.
Do you know who I am?
I didn't play video games because I don't have the time. I'm all in. Anytime I decide I like something, I'm all in on it. Well, I got an Xbox last March, February, whatever, right before COVID. And I don't practice my guitar anymore. I play a lot, and it is definitely a thing. But like, if you look at when you dig into Red Dead and look at how much I've played, and you know, it gives you a count and it tells you days.
Dude.
And that doesn't mean how many days you've played. That is how many blocks of 24 hours total that you've played.
Where are you at?
It's a lot. I'll tell you what.
Over 100 days. It's over 100 days.
I'll tell you what. While we're doing the show,
I bet it's probably like 25-ish days.
I'll fire up the Xbox.
Okay, let's make the line 50. Who's going to take the over?
50 days is a lot. Like 50 days is a lot of time. Like he would have to be playing like 12 hours a day.
I've heard Eric talk about this game. I'm going to take the over. Who is with me?
I'm saying around over.
You're over. Okay, so Luke, you got the under. Okay, Eric, what is the who wins?
Hang on, I got to look it up, man. It's going to take a minute for Red Dead.
No worries.
But
I want to point out that you guys are not wrong. I have not touched Red Dead or any game in easily 3 months. I just know it's going to be bad, and I catch myself. I have this ability to just walk away from it, but then I walk away from it for 2 months or 4 months or 6 months at a time, and now, I mean, we're creeping up on 4 months for me.
I'm just saying, I play video games at least 3 hours a day, right, at night, usually when my family's asleep, and there's three games that I play on a regular, and not one of them am I over, and I've been playing them for about at least 11, 10 months, and I not one of them Not one of them am I over like 6 hours. I mean six days. So I mean, like,
you think you're better than me?
Well, like,
no, I'm not saying that. I mean, I play a lot.
Are
I'm
we
just
getting back
like,
your account now? I'm like, because you've got a different machine now, or is it gonna like? Is your
no. It,
gamer
I mean,
tag,
it's, gamer it's
tag,
all based off of username. So it all
okay.
Logs
so your gamer
together.
Tag. Okay. Okay.
So. You know, one of the, like we talked about before, you know, Bad Batch is sort of the main thing going. But like, as far as the TV and animation has gone, Lumberjack Nick, what's your, are you digging that stuff and what's been your favorite?
Of the TV stuff?
Yeah.
The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
But I love the Bad Batch. I'm really enjoying, like, what I really like about the Bad Batch is seeing the very, like, the next day of the Imperial and seeing all that come out. See how that like shakes out, you know, and stuff. So I've been really liking Bad Batch because of that. And I'm really excited for Book of Boba Fett. So
yeah,
me too. In live action news, the Rangers of the New Republic is the word on the street is that is not currently in development anymore. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's rumors of the reasons why and speculation about what the, like who the show was going to be centered around, and maybe that has something to do with
it. Sure.
But it's always a bummer to hear that. But again, you know, there was so much stuff thrown out there during that investor thing that it is tough to imagine all of that coming out. So is anybody here super bummed out to hear that that's gone away?
Not really, because I had nothing to go off of what it was going to be. Like, it was kind of really vague. So it's just kind of like, oh, I'm disappointed about something I know nothing about. I mean, like, just.
That show was like the show everybody was having the most fun making guesses about who was going to be in it and what it was going to be about, whatever, because they had no idea. Like, oh, maybe Cobb Vanth is going to be part of it. Maybe this is going to be part of it. Maybe whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's all kinds of people they thought would be like, become like these like little sheriffs across the galaxy or whatever. And for me, I mean, I think we always kind of knew based off of, I mean, at least from last season and then the announcement when that happened, that it had to be based off of Cara Dune. Like, there was really no other way about it. And we had heard forever that. We had heard forever that she was going to get, she's part of her own show. There's rumors forever. And, you know, it's just, it obviously with the removal of the actor who played her. I mean, like we can speculate all we want. Maybe it was something internal, but that wasn't that. Maybe they were trying to find a way around using her character. And they just, you know, didn't somebody, I saw somebody speculating that maybe there was some clause in her contract or something, but I doubt that her contract had that kind of pool already. Like, I don't think she had gained enough leeway yet, as an actor to demand such clauses in her profile, but maybe she's got a really, really good agent. I don't know. But you know, basically saying like if she's not playing the character, then the character can't continue or blah blah blah. I don't know. That's kind of a clause that normally appear in a contract. But I mean, they got rid of her, so therefore they made a big deal about her becoming a Ranger in the Mando 2. So I mean, they've moved on from that, and I can't say I blame them. And it could always turn into something else. It's not saying that it can't happen, but they have to. Yeah. I know Eric's got a look on his face.
No, so I finally found the.
I'm like waiting
my
for like
stats for Red Dead, and well, sir. Now, mind you, this is a combination of the story mode plus
and online
Red Dead Online.
Okay,
and it is 58 days, 16 hours, and 16 minutes.
Wow.
Boom! I never underestimated Eric's addictive personality.
That is. So
I'm actually kind of disappointed.
Just
that was
to
it.
Throw this
I was
into perspective,
for 100 and we were being like really, really conservative with 50.
I'm shocked, to be honest.
That is 1,408 hours.
Wow,
and 16 minutes.
Hey, Luke, do you see Eric in a new
That's
light
crazy.
Now? Since you thought he was legitimately only going to have 6 days worth of playing.
No. I said 25 days. I said 25 days.
He 100%ed the game.
Yeah.
Like on 100%.
But I think he's played it through twice, haven't you?
No, just once. But I mean, when I say
100%. 1,392 hours, is that what that is?
It's almost 2 months.
1,408.
Damn, dude. You spent 2 months on that game.
So I do have somebody who has played it more than me.
Oh,
and
that
is my friend Tracy at 65 days.
Wow. Jesus.
I'm surprised that's it.
And 30
minutes.
Yeah,
I'm kind of surprised that's it for that dude.
But yeah, man.
Eric's reevaluating some things. And
well, it's a little embarrassing, but...
I seriously thought you weren't saying it for like it was taking that long. I didn't realize it was taking that long to get the number. And I thought he's not saying because it's 110.
Well, I was looking for it in game. You know what I mean? Just to see if it would say that as opposed to like the Xbox Live thing. Because so total time spent in Red Dead Online is 13 and a half days.
So it's mostly 100 everything out on the game. Because not just the story mode. You got all the pelts. You got all the outfits. You got all the missions.
Oh, dude, everything in story mode.
You found all the dream catchers in the trees.
And the every achievement in it. And, yeah, all that. So.
You collected all the dumbass cards and the dumbass like duels and shit.
It's been a lot, yes.
Yeah.
So, anyhow. It does take up a lot of time. But, okay, let's go back to the Bad Batch. Here we are. We just had, what did we decide? Episode 4? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, let's talk about it again. And I just want to point this out that we are assuming that you've seen it. We're not going to discuss this beat by beat, but we're also, it's just a general discussion of full spoilers and the whole bit. So, who wants to go?
You also had a whole weekend to see it. I'll go ahead. I'll go first. Just main takeaway, finding out some stuff about Omega, you know, through the drip of the IV is very smart of them if it's going to be 16 episodes. And I like how they're doing it. They're giving us a little bit of a time. But the big thing is Frantic Shran or Shran, whatever. She was awesome. The animation on her face. Oh, yeah. I was very much like, I was a fan of how she like didn't come off aggressive with Omega, like totally got Omega to believe she was definitely there to help her. And you know what I mean? Like she was crafty and we just got to see so many cool aspects of the character. And it's nice they're using this platform to build up her character for the Book of Boba Fett, because I'm assuming she's going to play a big role in that.
Oh, yeah. I would say the animation in general in this episode was phenomenal, like compared
best
to
best of the season so far.
I mean it rivals the best of the last season of the Clone Wars. I mean it's, I don't know what it was. There was just something about the stylizing they did, or like the way they play with shallow depths of field and stuff like that. Like it was pretty crazy. I mean,
it's been great in general, like since the Clone Wars came back.
I was surprised how good it's been.
That last episode with the sand looked fantastic, but this overall, fantastic animation. Oh, so good. And I'm just digging on Omega's character right now.
So, Lumberjack Nick, do you dig the art style of Bad Batch? Or has there been another animation, Star Wars animation, that you liked the look of more?
I think Bad Batch and Clone Wars is my favorite. I did like Rebels. Resistance, not so much. I could never actually finish that show, but... Yeah, no, I love the animation, the texturing and everything they've done on the Bad Batch this season. It just keeps getting better and better. Like, it's really incredible what they can do. And also, I don't know if you guys knew this or realize this, but the chase scene in the last episode, all the sound effects were from the chase scene in Attack of the Clones.
I mean, that's a good use of resources right there.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounded familiar for sure.
Cool. I thought that was really cool.
I did not realize that.
Mm-hmm. I saw it on YouTube.
That's cool. So oh, dang it. You shouldn't have told me. I was so impressed. I'm like, yeah, he just noticed that. So yeah,
I'm sorry. I will say, Nick, I'm not surprised that you enjoy the stylizing of Clone Wars and Rebels even. I mean, mm-hmm. like because you yourself have a quirky like signature style, the way you do things, and like and that's completely like a praise. I love your stuff, but like the
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I've told you such. the stylizing of the Clone Wars is very unique. And I think it took a long time for people to get on board with it. Like, cause those first few seasons are kind of rough at times. And like, you know, as they were like, as with everything George Lucas does, like there's a perfection process that like he starts off. He's like, well, we're just going to fucking do it and see what happens. And then he just keeps throwing stuff at the wall until it gets better and better and better. He builds upon it. You know what I mean? And you have to like appreciate the balls it takes to like just try something brand new and not really care what people think. And then it's the, and for them to understand that you have a vision and that it's coming, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And to see what the last season of the Clone Wars became compared to what came before it, you know, even though it slowly got better and there was a time gap, which really helped. But and then to see that carry over to the Bad Batch, which I honestly did not expect when they first announced it. I thought they may have like gone a different route that maybe didn't cost them as much money to make or something like that, just because it's about lesser known characters and stuff like that. But maybe it's because they already had the character models and all that stuff already made that they could have worked from that. I don't know. But like the stylized carried on for that, from that original, is it's been nearly seamless and even like in better in a lot of ways. I've been really impressed with it. So
Lumberjack Nick, what did you make of this episode? And can you pinpoint a favorite of the four that we've gotten so far?
My favorite is probably the first episode. It felt very cinematic. And I like the length a lot and stuff. I think maybe actually, oddly enough, this episode was maybe the most action-packed episode. And it was probably my least favorite because I think it was just... because what I liked the other episodes were the learning about the boring stuff, like the Empire and everything, you know, like the early days of the Empire and stuff. And I think actually it was on one of you guys were talking about your kids not really digging the show because you thought there wasn't enough action and or whatever, so...
It's Henry, right?
Yeah, Henry. I mean, he doesn't hate it. Don't.
Both Eric and I's kids are not super into it. Yeah.
But yeah, and I'm not sure why, because he did like the Clone Wars and I'm just not sure. But the thing with this episode that I don't want is for every week it's the whole thing where Omega gets taken out of the group where she's suddenly in by herself and in danger and lost. And I don't think that's a sustainable thing. I think that it'll get old pretty quick. And what I want
one more episode of that'll get old.
And what I want to see is the story progress more. Like in this one, we don't see anything across here. And I realize that you can't show him every time because it's not where else you're going to go with it. Cause you're going to run into the same thing there where you're just going to keep showing him doing the same things over and over again until they like meet back up. But I'm not sure. I didn't hate this episode. Please don't take it that way, but I wasn't super keen on it. It was my least favorite of the ones we've gotten so far. But I did love seeing Fennec Shan in it, and I thought the way they handled the character was great. I loved hearing Ming-Na Wen's voice. She did a great job as a voice actress. I always wonder, like, for actors and actresses, if that's difficult to make that jump, if they started out doing, you know, physical work, if it's weird, but it sounded incredibly natural. And
well, I mean, she was Mulan.
Oh, that's true. I forget it. I never saw that.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
She definitely has experience in it, so that definitely helps for sure.
But I thought it was cool, her interactions with Omega. I mean, there's some pretty hardcore, dangerous moments. Again, that's not something you can do to a kid every time. In this episode, again, we see human beings shot directly in the heart and killed in an open air craft. So it's not like just alluded to. They're alive 1 minute and dead the next. And that's pretty grown up, you know. That's a lot for... Can you just let me finish? I hear you keep trying to jump in there. But I think that's cool. And I'm glad that they're not afraid to do that. They're not pulling punches on it. But at the same time, I still would like it if they've got other animation projects that are maybe a little less in your face. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But again, you know, I mean, kids see violence all the time now. It would be, it wouldn't be genuine, I guess, if there was none of it. But anyhow,
It is called Star Wars.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. But I was just going to say, it clearly points to the fact that they're not, they're assuming adults are watching it more than kids. I think this series, I think that's it, based on all this just full on just violence. I don't think they're catering to kids as much with this series as like, say, Resistance.
I remember Resistance was clearly like a kid show, even though there was some moments in it where like, what, that happened on this show? But I mean,
I think this one's like not as geared towards like in the way Clone Wars originally was.
I remember the first episode of Rebels blew me away because they were blowing away stormtroopers and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somehow it's always different when they're in armor, when you don't see a face. Because, you know, that's what the thing with the prequels, when you really started seeing it, was the battle droids. And I feel like they, one of the reasons they went that route is that you could shoot them more. And not
and cut them in half.
Not feel as bad as if it was a bunch of people.
There's no pain involved.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, you know.
But go ahead.
No, you have, man. You good.
So, Lumberjack Nick, you're a dad. Mm-hmm. That's when, you know, it's kind of a thing we got going here. Are your kids, I'm not sure how old all your kids are, but are they into this sort of thing?
Man, I'm trying. I have a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old. And the 2-year-old thinks it's funny when people ask her if she likes Star Wars. She likes to say no and laugh.
Already. Dang, that's snark.
Brutal.
I'm trying little by little.
That's such a little girl thing.
Totally, yeah.
Like, my daughter, when they'd ask her, are you a 49ers fan? She'd be like, I like the Seahawks. I'm like, God damn it.
Now, how about your wife?
Who taught you that?
Is she a fan of Star Wars at all?
Yeah, no, she likes Star Wars. She's not, she'll tell people she's not into it as much as I am. But she does like that. The movie. She's gone all seen that. She's seen all the movies. She actually watched this last episode of Bad Batch with me. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
Well, that's cool.
She's pretty cool. I have a pretty awesome wife, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She sits right there and hold up a sign, say how awesome I am. Say how awesome I am.
You can't see her right now, but yeah, she's there with a gun.
It's a rubber band gun pointed at your sack.
I want to say really quick about Omega and how the constant danger she's in and whatever, all that stuff like that. We saw in the trailers for it that she clearly has a moment where she becomes aware of herself and becomes more badass. Like there's a moment where you see her like holding like some weapons and stuff, like not like she had so far, but like a different thing. And I think they're trying to get us there, but in the process, it feels like it's taken too long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To like quit putting her in so much danger, but like we have to like still try to remember that she was basically a blank slate when they picked her up. Like she had only ever experienced what they let her see on Kamino, and that wasn't much. And basically, was like a medical assistant, right? Basically,
assistant or something.
And so, like, she's slowly becoming self-aware, and she's done some amazing things. And I think that's going to culminate, hopefully, sooner than later. But who knows? You know, I don't know how long they would draw out the child danger, but they seem to have no problem doing it for 4 episodes, but. I don't know. I think they're trying to showcase that she's going to impress us a little bit more each episode. So it's just imagine what it's going to be when it gets there. And then is she going to become like completely independent to the point where they have to like rein her back? Like she gets too rambunctious like children do. You know what I mean? When a child gets really sure that they could do something, it's to the point where they end up hurting themselves because they went way too far than what they could, you know. my son does that all the time with certain things, like whether it's riding his bike down a really steep hill or if it's doing some new crazy move on the jungle gym where he's hanging down upside down with one leg, no arms, and waving at me at the same time or something. He falls on his head or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it's like crazy stuff like that. It's interesting to see. Did they ever tell us how old Omega is? Are we just supposed to assume?
I don't think so. Do you?
No, they've never said. They've never implied. I think you have to assume she's the age of the clones from like when Obi-Wan's taking the tour in Attack of the Clones, and you see those ones like in a classroom kind of setting. They look like they're like 7th grade, 8th grade.
I mean,
13 years
to
old.
To me, she's like 10. Maybe
11.
Equivalent.
There.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why I feel 10 because she's not, she doesn't have that cocksuredness of a teenager, but like
I know all about that, Luke.
But she's definitely not a baby. You know what I mean? So like, it's hard to pin it down. But if I had to guess, I would say 10 in clone years.
I think that's what Boba Fett was in Attack of the Clones, was 10.
Yeah, I would say she's right around there, like a little bit older than Boba Fett was in Attack of the Clones.
I guess that would make sense because wasn't Attack of the Clones 10 years after Phantom Menace?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. And you know, maybe like, because they have accelerated growth.
Yeah.
Maybe they had seen what Boba was become, because at that point, you know, he's bounty hunting and shit. Maybe they've kind of kept tabs on him since Jango.
Well, he wasn't accelerated. Boba Fett wasn't.
Oh, yeah. He was unaltered. He was an unaltered clone. Yeah, you're right.
So what do you think, Lumberjack Nick's going to be the ultimate deal with Omega? Is she just a... like unaltered as far as like age acceleration? Do you think she'll be force sensitive? What do you think is going to be the score?
I have no idea. I think right now maybe the go-to thing is that she's a combination of all the Bad Batch.
Mm-hmm.
There's part of me that thinks she's going to end up being Rey's mom just because they like to tie everything together. I can see her being force sensitive too. I mean, that was a theory that I thought from the first episode. I don't know. I have no idea.
That would be interesting to, if she was Rey's mom, that two clones made Rey. That would be interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Wow. Yeah, I never like made that connection. I didn't
think about that. At first, like when people were saying that, I'm like, that's kind of dumb. Why do they have to like Potterverse this shit? Like Star Wars, we don't have to Potterverse everything, goddammit.
I don't know, but I don't know. It would be interesting to drill. I mean, I'm not hoping for it, but it'd be an interesting. I would still find it intriguing that two clones made the savior of the galaxy. You know,
seriously, I 180'd on that idea because you said that.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, because Palpatine's son was a clone, right?
Like he was a clone of himself. Yeah. He was a clone of Palpatine.
Yeah, but he didn't. But he was like a. Like a failed clone in Palpatine's eyes, because he wasn't force sensitive. I don't think.
Yeah, because he wasn't force sensitive at all. He was assuming if he cloned himself, he'd be force sensitive.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's funny that it took two negatives to make a positive. If that's the case,
yeah,
because that essentially would make sense at that point, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think she is. I mean, if they did, they'd have to pull a whole.
Well, and
Captain Rex in Return of the Jedi thing, you know what I mean?
And that's a lot closer than what they did in Rise of Skywalker for Rey's mom. So,
well, I mean, but like in Rey's, I mean, but Rey's mom wasn't a Kiwi, you know what I mean? Like,
and she speaks in the movie, so
yeah
that's true.
Yeah, and she was a white woman, and there's a whole lot of stuff going on there.
I love her accent, Omega's.
Oh, dude, it's the best. Love it. I love the Kiwi accent. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite accents in the world.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, here we are. We're just a few days out from another episode that we'll be, you know, late to the punch talking about. But that's fine. It gives you guys even more time to watch it a bunch and talk about what we got wrong in the episode. So congratulations to everybody who's into that. You know who you are. Correcting my every move before I even have a chance to correct it 2 minutes later in the episode. But
he's not talking about you, Dave Strutt.
He's definitely talking about somebody that begins with rhymes with isbilis.
Yes. But so, Lumberjack Nick, what other fandoms do you have outside of Star Wars?
Oh, I have a very obsessive personality, so I'll get very sucked into things. And so it can change from week to week, really. I'm really into H.P. Lovecraft, like weird fiction and stuff like that. My second favorite movie is probably the Back to the Future trilogy. Nice. That's all three of those movies. I love Back to the Future. I've read the Harry Potter books. I like the Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings, stuff like that. I mean, just, I don't know, a lot of stuff.
What's your stance on TMNT?
I don't even know what that is. What is that?
Ninja Turtles.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. No. I'm such an idiot. Yes. No, I love to. Yeah, I know.
Fake fan.
The original
fake fan.
Oh my gosh. You said it so fast.
Yeah, my favorite's Domenico.
I thought you said TNT.
I had a TMNT moment this weekend. Remember the first movie, whenever Raphael's getting his ass kicked by the Foot Clan on the roof, and they drag his ass down the stairs. He's like, da, 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 you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
My brother had a birthday party for his daughter. She just turned 6. And they bought this. They rented this big inflatable water slide, and like towards the end, after the kids started petering out or doing something else, all of us big ass adults thought it's our time now, and we start going on it. And there's this little, you know, ladder going up it, you know, whatever, like this little like inflatable little ladder post to go walk up it. And nobody tells you how slippery those things are when you're going up it. And the first time I went up,
you fell on your ass, didn't you?
I got almost all the way up, and I lost my footing, and I just all the way down these rungs, took out like 2 kids in a clean bowling strike. But like my knees, dude, I was like, oh my God, I'm so old. My knees were just shot after that because they just, my knees just nailed each one of those rungs that I go down. I mean, it's like 15 of them. It's pretty high. It's pretty high, little pool slide. I mean, you know, my kid got kicked off of it. My brother was like, look, I warned him 3 or 4 times to stop sliding head first so he didn't break his neck. And he kept saying, okay, and then kept doing it. So I kicked him off the slide. I'm like, that's fair. That's fair. He's got to be told no once in a while.
Speaking of Back to the Future, I saw the DeLorean that drives around in Alton the other day. I was, dude, I wanted to chase that thing down so bad. And I've talked about it on this show. But for anybody who doesn't remember, because who knows how long ago it was, there's a guy has a DeLorean. I see it at the DMV out in the parking lot. And I didn't sit out there and wait. We just happened to be like, I'm getting out of the car. He's getting in the car. And I complimented him on the DeLorean. And he copped a total attitude with me.
Oh, no.
I'm like, listen, you don't drive around in a DeLorean. And I think the license plate has some Back to the Future reference.
Of course it does.
You don't drive around in a DeLorean and expect that nobody's going to say anything.
Yeah.
You know, right. Come on.
What did he say?
I don't even remember. You know, it was just very dismissive, I guess.
I'm so tired. We'll talk about my awesome car.
Yeah. He doesn't deserve that car.
Next time you see him, tell him it's a piece of shit and see what happens.
I mean, technically they are a piece of shit.
You know, that thing's slow.
Yeah.
You should travel forward in time in that and see how unloved you're going to be.
Yeah. And then when he gets mad at you, you say, hey, you know, remember I walked out of the DMV, you walked out, you probably don't remember, but I complimented you. You were kind of rude about it. So I thought this time I would tell you it was a piece of shit, see what happened.
Yeah. I traveled back in time to see if you were born an asshole or if it was just time that did that to you. You know, was it nature or nurture? Well, jury's still out, dick.
Back to the Future is London's favorite movies. He loves those movies over any of them. Like, he has the Marty McFly like rainbow hat from like the
Wow, that's awesome.
They're great. Now, Lumberjack Nick, which one of those is your favorite out of the three?
The first one. Growing up, it was the third, but that the first one's just great.
First one is king. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, my order is first, third, second.
Mm-hmm. First, third, second.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that Old West one's great. There's elements of that second one that it's a good movie, but it's just a little...
The Flying DeLorean is probably the best part.
Yeah, I'll always be one, two, three with those Nikes movies.
Cool too.
I love all three of them, but I don't know. It's just something about going in the future, and I like all of the references, and like the time that we've already passed, you know, and like
and
what they had imagined of what was going to be happening there and stuff like that. That was just cool.
Mm-hmm. One thing about that
was fun for that.
One thing I didn't dig. Was the like when you see the scenes that happen in the first movie and they're not identical? Was that two?
That was in two at the end.
Yeah,
when he's like up in the rafters and shit.
And I was like, not my favorite, man. Not my favorite, but where was I going with this? Dang it.
But they had those badass Nikes. I mean, come on.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that is true. Oh, so
also the fight between Biff's the hovercraft, grandson.
Hoverboards.
Yeah.
With the you know, they have the enhancements. They're all like biologically enhanced and they end up on the hoverboards and it still end up in manure.
Mm-hmm. The second one just has all the best stuff.
Yeah, that is true. Mm-hmm. I do like how how dark it is, the whole thing where it's
the Biff Tannen section. Yeah,
where he's
really good.
Married to Lorraine and all this stuff.
That was my least favorite part of it. Like I didn't like when he went back to 85 or whatever, and like
Biff had altered the timeline.
Biff was like ruling the world. Like that part was my least favorite. I liked when they went to the future and all that stuff. Going back to 85 and seeing how
sucked.
You fucked up
the
past, I was like, I don't know.
Well, there's one thing that I think maybe the reason that one of the, like a couple things in two, seeing Elizabeth Shue as Jennifer is a little jarring since it was somebody else in the first one. Mm-hmm. But I don't, seeing Michael J. Fox as is playing his daughter makes me feel confused and I don't like it. So maybe that's part of it. I don't know. There's a really cute homage to that movie in the Jurassic World Lego game.
Oh, really?
There's a scene where you're in one of the missions, you're in Jurassic Park proper and the dinosaurs are loose. So it's in Jurassic World. The dinosaurs are loose. The park's in a mess and you've got to try to get everybody out. And one of the things, you have to scale this building and get up there, and there's a hologram projector that has not a shark that jumps out of it, but it's the same. Maybe it's the Mosasaurus, but it's the same kind of deal.
Oh,
where it's like same graphics of the Jaws 15 or whatever coming out. Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, it had that in it. And I'm like, well done. Good and faithful servant, man.
Well, but I did buy something last week, and it was a Jurassic Park T-shirt, like the classic one. But I was, but when I looked in the tag, it said Jurassic World, and I was like, "What is this? What's happening here?" I know it's all whatever, but like it was just weird to see that a Jurassic Park T-shirt with Jurassic World branding on the inside. It was strange.
That is nuts.
We need to go back to Ninja Turtles, though. I need to save myself.
Nope.
Nick needs to save his Ninja Turtle cred. All right, Nick.
Have you ever read the original like series that they put out back in the
comics?
Yeah.
I have a collection of them, like not like the original like comic, but it's like a compilation, like hardback, like
it's a graphic novel. But I have the same thing, Luke. Mm-hmm. I have the same exact thing.
I've read most of that. It's so much more violent than it became.
That first run is some of my favorite comics. Actually, my favorite comic is the Leonardo micro comic. Mm-hmm. If you can read that one, it's actually the first movie actually tells a whole story of maybe like the first 20 issues or something of that run. In the comic, it's Leonardo that gets beat up by the Foot Clan, and the movie is Raphael. But that comic is amazing. You should definitely check it out.
That's one thing I will say. I've not really dived deep into the the Turtle comics. Like my mm-hmm. like I was born in 86, so like my first like that was like the first cartoon that I really loved mm-hmm. was the digital cartoon. So that's where like it started for me. And I saw the movie. That was the first movie I saw in the theaters was that first one, which as we could say today, not the most kid friendly of movies, like especially not a 4-year old, but I still have the original poster from then, like when my mom got it for me in my room, like where we saw the movie and stuff. And then, of course, it got tore up over time. So my friend bought me a perfect replica of it. It's a really cool, like, hand-drawn one. I mean, it's a print, obviously, but you know what I mean. But that first movie is the movie that I can quote the most, like, any movie I've ever seen. I've seen it so many times. Like, literally. Like when like my best friend Leo and I, we have the same problem with that movie. Like we can't help but say the lines before they happen when we're watching the movie. And we did a commentary of that movie on the Patreon, and we literally had to force ourselves to not do that. we could even
the whole time
we can even like sing because they don't have it anymore, but I found the YouTube video. I put it on before the commentary, which was on the original FHE, which is who released it originally. There on the VHS, there was a Pizza Hut commercial that's about playing baseball in right field. It's this little boy like way out where the dandelions grow, and like Goldberg is like the catcher, and like from like the Mighty Duck show with all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a Pizza Hut commercial, and like he and I knew the entire song before we went and put it. Was just dude, that movie That's means so funny. Much to me. It's like how you guys were talking about Back to the Future and stuff. Like I'm just a little bit younger than you guys, so like it kind of like. That's where like it really started for me with movies mm-hmm. was that. And like I'd never gone back and really gone through all the comics, because I actually have not really got into comics until probably the last 4 or 5 years. Mm. Because when like I told the story before, when I was a little kid, like I saw this guy who had a whole bunch of comics. He had them all. He had in one of these binders. It was all like well preserved and stuff. He would show them off, whatever. Mm. I was like, oh man, I want to collect comics to get these stories. And my mom, who was like, I can't afford this shit. So she's like, no, you don't. You don't want to get into that. I'm like, okay. So I didn't get them.
If I can ever get away from this Star Wars thing in my art, Ninja Turtles is actually what I want to do. Oh, nice. A collage of, so.
I guess you got one purchase coming from me.
There's the setup there. Get Luke's money.
Yes.
Interesting facts about that original comic book series. Peter Laird and Kevin Eastman couldn't like get anybody to take on their ideas. So they just said, fuck it. We're going to do our own studio, Mirage Studio. Mm-hmm. We're going to publish our own shit. And that might've been the most genius shit ever, because they got rich off all of the royalties because they owned everything.
Well, I love their whole idea for that was like, let's just come up with what's the most ridiculous thing that we can come up with. And we're like, turtles that are ninjas. That's the most ridiculous thing we think of.
Yeah,
and like and like the original sketch literally looks like a box turtle like standing up on its hind legs with like nunchucks with a bandana around its eyes, but like a more realistic like the scale one, not like the more humanoid ones we know and love now.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny. They're like, let's try this out, and then it worked.
I saw the interview. They did an interview with some news station once, and. Like in the interview, they're sitting there going, yeah, we were just selling out at the comic book shop. We just started getting all these comic book shops that just were begging for it. It just grew and grew and grew. And Eric, just, I know you probably don't know what we're some of this, we care what we're talking about, but I'm going to drop this picture of one of the original covers. And the art is just so good. Just to think that like these dudes like, published this thing like out of their basement, like just
wait. Is that from like the game?
No, that's one of the original.
Yeah, it was used for one of the games, though.
Yeah, it was used for one of the games. Yeah, this is issue 4, man.
Oh yeah. They all had red bandanas. Yeah.
Yep.
I was actually into the comics when they were first out, And I just, but it's, I don't know. I thought they were just okay. It didn't, wasn't really my bag. And also, you know, it grew the Barbarian. That was a great one too, around that era. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that was a premise that sort of wore thin pretty quick. But hey, great news. My butthole neighbor just got home and he's out there revving that truck up. I had to go yell at him last night at 2 a.m.
I know what happened. He didn't pay the power bill and he's hooked up the 350 Chevy up to the
generator.
As a generator for the whole house out there. I got to microwave me some steakums.
Just get me out of here, man. That's all I got to say. But
give me the natty ice, baby.
But
I'm going to make sweet, drunken love.
These people got to go, man. These people got to go. Well, hey, there's Lumberjack Nick. I want to thank you for coming on the show, man. You have been an excellent guest, and I look forward to what you draw next, dude. And I'm getting a new house, got more wall space than I have now. So maybe nice. I'll be buying some more art from you. I got a print from Lumberjack Nick. It rules. And anyway, so you should definitely check out his stuff. All right. I'll have a link to where you can buy his art in the show description. So be sure to look down there and click on it and go check it out. But yeah, man, again, tell everybody where the best place to grab your excellent work is.
Just lumberjacknick.com.
Perfect. Go there.
Everything. Yeah. Easiest pie. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on here too. It's been a complete honor. Big show, your guys' show. Maybe my favorite podcast.
Thanks, man.
One thing I didn't mention. So Lumberjack Nick, he's also a Christian like myself and surrounded by heathens. And so what?
Guilty as charged.
Is there a moment in the show since you've been a listener for a solid while where you're like, oh, I think that might have been it. I think that could be it.
I mean, quit listening to the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Well,
see,
there's
loyal
been
listener.
There's been moments where I thought I might quit being on the show, but that's not because of my faith.
His greatest achievement is getting one of his art tattooed on somebody's penis.
Yeah. So you remember the whole joke about the guy who gets married to his wife, Wendy, and gets her name tattooed on his junk. But whenever he's not, you know, in full glory, it just says W-Y, right? And so he's in Jamaica. They're on vacation, and they're at a nude beach, and he sees this guy. And to go along with the story, you can imagine what his ethnicity may or may not be. But his wang says W-Y on it also. And the guy's like, oh, wow, you know, is your wife's name Wendy too? And he says, oh, no, mine says, welcome to Jamaica. Have a nice day.
Wow. Yeah. On that note, I forgot earlier in the show to mention we do have a Patreon announcement. We're going to do a Patreon hangout, and I need you guys to help me suss this out right now. When would be a good time for the Aussies have complained because they haven't been able to join me on Sunday. So it would have to be Saturday, and I can pull that off. I can make that happen. But for them, what time would that have to be?
Well, for like my time zone, a lot of times they're approximately 17 hours ahead of me.
Oh, so they'd be 18 hours ahead of me. So if it'd have to be like 7 p.m. my time. No, it'd have to be like 9 p.m. my time. So for them, 2100 hours.
Yeah, roughly.
For it to be relatively late enough that they can enjoy a few adult beverages while we hang out. So, yeah, let's plan on that.
Dude,
that
they're Australian. Right, they'll enjoy adult beverages at 10
a.m. You don't have to give them a reason. You just got to say, I'm awake.
Oh, I know. I've done Skypes where Turbo's joined us and it's 9 a.m. and he's like, I'm not having a beer, guys. And then the next thing you know, he's caving. Anyway.
Dude, morning drinking is sometimes the best drinking.
It kind of is. Like at 10 o'clock at night, you're just going to be like, feel horrible in the morning. You know what I mean? But if you start at like 10 a.m. and you finish at 2, you're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Or a lot of times you can taper off, have some lunch, be responsible, and then go at it again later.
That's kind of my life anyway.
Well, so you guys may be getting an even better glimpse of why I had to stop drinking.
For all the patrons, I will send out a link through your account. So if you're a patron, you'll be invited. I'll invite some other folks along too, because they've been a great fun time. So we'll plan on this Saturday, which I believe is the 29th.
Yes.
That sounds correct.
So yes. Yeah, I'm doing the math. Yeah, the 29th, we'll do 2100 hours, 9 p.m. for those of you Mountain Standard Time. And I will send out the link. And then those of you who would want to reach out, maybe join, you know, DM me. We'll see if we can hook up. So it'll be fun. It'll be a fun time. And you guys, of course, if you're available, join us.
Okay.
I don't have a gig this weekend. So who knows? Who knows? But
there's anyhow, been requests, Eric. There's been requests.
Well, you know, it's, I had to check with my agent. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah.
I'll just text her and say you spent 58 days on fucking Red Dead.
Oh, she knows. She, yeah.
Can he spare one of those days for the Patreon hangout on Saturday?
Well, anyway, guys, thanks so much for supporting the show on Patreon and otherwise. If you haven't left us a review on Apple Podcasts, please do. It helps people find us. So, you know, you might as well share in your pain with them.
Yeah.
Like I said, everything's right down there in the description if you want to follow us on social media. And yeah, I guess all that's left is this. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
Bad motivators.